tonight that I have had in my heart for several months. And this afternoon, I just felt like that it was time to begin it and see what... All right, let's stand together and pray for Nikki tonight. Thank you. You may be seated. We know God can heal these children. We do believe that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, I feel God tonight. I feel God. Thank the Lord. I am going to teach tonight and begin what possibly is going to be a series of lessons. Then I think the time is appropriate. I believe it's right. I feel we're in the will of God. And what I'm going to teach about is simply prayer. Prayer. There is a whole lot more to prayer than just kneeling down when I feel like it. Amen? Now, we all know what prayer is able to do. Brother Howard said it's the glue that keeps us in with God. We believe that. We believe that. But as we recognize how important prayer is, we need to recognize or understand how to use prayer. Now, God has given us such a tremendous avenue. I know what dynamite can do, or at least I've heard what it can do. I've never been around it. And Brother Malcolm, I wouldn't want to give it to Rich and tell him to go out and move a mountain. It could be dangerous. He might lose the rest of his teeth. It can be, damaging. But yet, if it's used in the right direction, there's power involved. And so it is with our prayer. Much of prayer, and I don't mean this in a wrong spirit, and I'll clarify it as I go along tonight. Much of our prayer, and bear with me, is wasted time. It's wasted time. Now, I'm not saying that, here I knelt down and I've spent time in prayer. God surely understands. God does understand. But I have learned something in studying on this, that there is a direction God would take us. And if you stay with me tonight, now I don't know. I'm going to stop at least by 9 o'clock. At least by 9 o'clock. But I've got more material, I guess, to teach than I've ever had for two or three Wednesday nights. So I don't know exactly how we're going to go. I refuse to get in a hurry tonight. There's a lot of this that I am going to be repetitious in. But I tell you now, all of this material that I'm going to give you, all of it is not my own. There is a minister that has since passed on that I was listening to some of his tapes. And as I sat and listened, the tears just began to flow out of my eyes. And then with some of his ideas, some things God has placed on my heart, I want to give this to you tonight. And it has been a benefit to me. And I want it to be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about prayer. Now, to begin with, there are basically two kinds of prayer. Two kinds of prayer. There's a prayer that I'm going to call, for the lack of any other word to label it, I'm going to call it current prayer. And then we're more familiar with the type of prayer that we're called memorial prayer. Now, a current prayer is a prayer that is answered right now. How many has ever paid a bill in your life? Y'all know what I'm talking. Two of them, Brother Howard said. Well, that's good. There is a bill that you pay. For example, AP&L comes in. It comes in our house somewhere around the 20th, 21st, 22nd, and we just hold our breath in the summertime. When it comes in, there's a set amount, and we just about did a Holy Ghost shout down. It was only $78 this month, I think. And my wife was all carried away, told her father, and Brother Rutledge said, yeah, but just wait till next month. If this one was only 78. Kind of took the blessing away, if you know what I mean. But when it comes in, there's one amount that's due, one set amount. They want that. That's what you pay. And after you pay that, as far as that particular bill, it's paid in full. I've taken care of it now. And there is a prayer that we're going to speak briefly about in this, that there is the prayer that is a current prayer. When it is prayed, it's answered right now. How many have ever, now be honest with it, have ever been on your knees praying for a certain situation or need, and while you were praying, either if it was a physical need, it was met right now, or there was a confirmation from God, it was met. And when you got up and you went on your way, you found out it was met. Have you ever prayed that way? Hallelujah. I remember the first time I ever prayed that type of prayer. I was praying for a friend of mine who was very sick. And as I prayed, I don't normally go in and read my Bible. When I'm praying, I've seen people that will go in and read their Bible. I guess if that's the way they want to do it, I'm not knocking it. I'd rather be praying. But for the first time, and I think the only time, I took my Bible with me. And as I was reading this, or praying this prayer, I just felt led to open my Bible. And I opened where the centurion sent to Jesus to ask for healing for his servants. And when I read that parable, something within me, now this person was sick and about to die. Something within me clicked, and it said, they're going to be taken care of. Everything's going to be all right. I got up. Brother Howard, I tried to pray some more. I didn't feel like I needed to. So I got up, and it wasn't just a day or two that the doctors confirmed a miraculous healing in their lives, and it was a touch of heaven. I know that God, let that be a current prayer. It was taken care of right now. Now, if we had a choice, there's not a one of us that would not choose to have our prayers met now. You know, if we'd walk into church and every time we come in, if I'd say, Lord, I need, and you go ahead and tell them what you need, and before you walk out the doors of the church, you know it's going to be taken care of, oh, how wonderful. But I'm afraid to say, most of the prayers, and not trying to repeat back to the Bible study I gave on reasons that prayers are not answered, but most of our prayers are not current prayers. Not current. Now, they're memorial prayers. Memorial praying is, I don't know, for the lack of any other direction to put it, Sister Runyon, it's praying on the payment plan. Some of y'all may be fortunate enough not to know what it is to have one of those little blue bank books on your car. I have never yet known what it was to not have a car payment. And the route we're going, I probably never will know unless I win one somewhere. Then I might not have a car payment. But you finance a car, most people, if you buy a new car, somewhere between 36 to 48 months. And in Indiana, they've just got it even a little bit better. They can go 5 years on the new cars. Boy, by the time you'd ever think about paying for one, you know what shape they're in. In 36 months, they're not worth driving, most of them. But it's a payment. Each month, you write out a payment. Whether it be your house, your car, or something like that that you purchased, you write a payment out. You mail it in, and they accept the payment, and they deduct a small amount. If it's your house, they deduct $2 from the principal and the other $1,000 goes on the interest. And you say, we're really getting it down now. And really you're not. But it's the payment plan. Now, if it were not for that, God bless those of you that do not need to know what it is to have a payment plan. I myself am thankful for credit. If it was not for credit, I'd be in a mess of a shape, I guarantee you. But it's a payment. You write it out, you mail it in, and you know, I have never yet, now my house, I've almost got it paid for. I've only got 26 more years to pay on it. Man, I feel like I'm all of the rest downhill from here. It's just about there. You know, I'm down now where I'm paying about $25 a month on the principal. I feel like I'm whipping that out in no time. I've never yet been disgusted with the people that hold that mortgage because they have not sent me a paid in full notification. My house is not paid for. I'm paying on it. I am paying payments. Each month, I add a little bit more. The reason they have not yet sent me a paid in full, one reason, Brother Rod, I still owe some old payments. And until I get it paid for, they're not going to notify me. Now, I'm talking about our prayers in this, our memorial prayers. Let me just talk to you a moment about it. When you pray a memorial prayer, sometimes people have not grasped the fact and why their prayers have not been answered. Well, I've prayed X number of years. You know what God has led me to see today? That does not matter. The years you prayed is really beside the point. The point is, let me grasp reality. If my prayer is a memorial prayer, then I need to pray and not stop because the answer hasn't come yet. Not just say it looks like it's not coming. When you pray a memorial prayer, you keep praying for one reason. Because you know the answer is going to come sometime. Now it takes faith to pray a memorial prayer. It's so much easier to pray when see the answer. It's so much easier when I kneel to pray to see within a day or two the result of my prayer. A memorial prayer may not have the answer given for years. But keep this in mind, if you would, when you pray. One day, if you keep making payments on that prayer, if you let me use that term, one day there's going to be stamped as that answer comes, paid in full. You made all the required payments. You've given it. You've kept praying. You've kept paying. You've kept it up. You've always believed. Now, I know if I keep paying my house payment, someday, if the Lord tarries, someday I'm not going to have to pay anymore. It's going to be taken care of. Now, why can't I have that kind of faith in God? I'm willing to plan on paying 30 years on a house. And sometimes I'm not willing to wait 3 weeks for an answer from God. But if we are willing to hold on to God. Now you see, if you do not realize that you're praying a memorial type prayer, you can get discouraged when the answer doesn't come. Well, I think it should have come. I've been discouraged sometimes in the last, going on in about 6 weeks, it'll be 6 years that we've been here. I've been discouraged. I mean, there's been some times I had to pray, God, take the discouragement away so we can go on and have church. I've been discouraged. I want to see souls saved. And I'm not going to break off on anything. I'm going to stay with prayer tonight. But I want to see souls saved. And if you're not careful and do not realize you are praying a memorial prayer, you can let the lack of the answer get you down and stop you from praying your prayer. There's been a lot of times that people have given up before the final payment has been made. Before the final prayer has been prayed, they've stopped praying, and consequently, they may never see the answer. In this walk with God, it's a matter of keep on praying. To talk about a memorial prayer, I'd have to make a reference to Cornelius. He prayed. We do not know how long he prayed. We're not told the time period he prayed. It very likely could have been for years that he prayed to God. But finally, one day, he prayed so much to God, even though he was a Gentile and did not have right to what the Jews were supposed to have. He prayed so much that finally God had to do something about it. Cornelius was not supposed to be able to have receive a blessing from God. But God had to do something because the man kept praying. And the angel of the Lord met Cornelius in prayer. And the angel said, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." God's going to do something because of the way you've been praying, Cornelius. God's going to answer, and God's going to give you a certain answer because you have made a memorial to God. And what would have it been if Cornelius had stopped? You see, what God would like us to recognize and realize is that in our memorial prayers, there's no place to stop. And when you begin a memorial prayer, you don't begin it saying, "Well, I wonder if this is going to be one of them 30 years, you know, I'm going to pray until I can hardly have breath to pray." You don't begin it that way. You begin praying like God's going to answer it now. But if He does not answer it now, and I'm not saying this is a cop-out for faith, "Well, I guess I'm just not going to answer it now. It'll be later." You believe that God will. But you keep praying if He doesn't, and you set your mind like that, "God, I am going to touch You. I'm here." You see, often we have the wrong concept about saints and God. We have the concept that the only reason I'm in the church is that God can bless me, and God can answer my needs, and God can keep me healthy. But that is not the only reason we're in the church. That is all a side benefit to the church. I'm in the church to have faith in God and walk with God, not come what, you know, if it's all my way, but walk with God no matter what happens. The person that's up and down, discouraged and encouraged and troubled and don't know what to think and don't know what to believe and this and that and all that comes, that individual does not know what it is to really walk with God. They don't know what it is to stand with God and what it is to hold on to God. What God is looking for, and prayer builds this in our life, He's looking for some saints that are going to stand no matter what storm comes. And when there's no storm anywhere, everybody can say, "Amen, glory, hallelujah," everybody ought to stand. But I've seen some of them when I've preached in the 6 years I've been here, almost. I've seen some that's loud, amen, the loudest, giving it out the loudest. That when the trouble came, they weren't standing. They couldn't be found. Then when it gets over, then they come back when everything's all right. What happened to the time when the trouble was there? "Well, I just really didn't know. I couldn't really make it out." Then they really weren't strong in God. Moody saints. Moody people have not learned the strength of prayer. Amen. Moody people. That doesn't mean that you never have any ups and downs. The ups and downs are there. But when you bring your ups and downs into the house of God and let it hinder your walk with God, not only your walk, but someone else's walk with God, you have not learned the strength of standing with God. But if you want to learn to stand with God, you learn to pray to your God. If you want to learn to hold on no matter what, then you learn to pray to the God that is going to keep you. Hallelujah. And not let anything stop you. Understand, when you pray that memorial prayer, you may just be making another payment. "Oh, I wish this would happen. I wish that would happen. I wish something else would come. And I wish this would be worked out." It doesn't always work that way. But that isn't saying that God isn't going to answer it. God will answer it. You keep praying, and someday the answer is going to be there. But it's got to be God's way. What does James chapter 5 tell us? When we read James chapter 5, we're able to see in the 14th and 15th verse, "Is any sick among you?" We know this verse. We use it often. "Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. If he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is a sound that it's happening right now. Current prayer is instant results. He's saying if there's any sick, let him be willing to come, and the prayer of faith shall. It sounds to me like he's trying to let us know that the prayer of faith will save the sick with an instant result, with an instant touch. Now, we're still dealing with a memorial prayer. The same chapter in James, only the 13th verse, he says, "Is any among you afflicted? You carried any affliction?" What does he tell him? He said, let him pray. A memorial prayer is not a prayer that's answered overnight. If there's affliction, let him pray. Not saying that he's going to get an immediate result. He didn't say at all that the person that is afflicted will have an answer right now. But let him pray. It may be a test of faith on his life. It might be that God wants to give him a lesson to learn. But while you're waiting on God and while you're trusting in God, we need to have a faith that has been built within us through our prayer life, that I'm able to stand while I'm waiting on the answer and say, one day I'm going to get my answer. One day it's going to come. Not discouraged. Not standing, never standing and saying, well, I don't know if it's ever going to be met. I don't know if we're ever going to see this thing taken care of. I don't know if we ever can expect this to happen. If you do that, you've left faith off. You need to come with it in your mind. I know it will, but it's going to be one day, and it'll be God's day. It'll be God's time. As long as I keep praying. Now, if I don't pray about it, God may never answer the need. But if I'm praying and living a right life, then one day it's going to be answered. One day it's going to be met. Have y'all ever, I'm sure you have, used what has been termed as the layaway plan? A layaway plan. We haven't used that much. We use more plastic money than layaway plans. We're going to have to get rid of both of them, I think. But the layaway, you make an agreement. If you're going to buy a certain item, you make an agreement with the store. I will pay you $10 a month until it's paid for. Until it's taken care of. If Sister Debbie Curran went in and bought a $150 dress and paid $10 a month, so Brother Charlie didn't know how much she paid for it. When she went back to the store and paid that final $10, Sister Debbie, you'd walk out with a dress. But you just gave them right then $10. You didn't buy the dress for $10, though. You made all the other payments. You paid $140. You just kept paying it. But you felt like, now you might have been in hock so long you forgot even what color your dress was. But when you gave that final $10, there is a record of all the other payments that you made. So when you walk out with that dress, you've walked out with the owner of that store saying you paid the bill in full. Here is the results of your paying it in full. I read a verse of Scripture this afternoon in Psalms 56 and verse 8. You might want to write this down. I kind of enjoyed reading it this afternoon. Psalms 56 and verse 8. Thou tellest, David saying, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Now what David is saying is that the Lord has recorded his tears, that he shed in prayer. He's recorded them in a book and he's placed them in a bottle. Now, if you'll let me just follow along with the trend that I've been saying, there comes a point that the tears of prayer, whatever the need would be, the prayers that God has bottled up, there comes a point that you're going to have that bottle full. When it's full, it's time that God has to do something. God, now it's been paid for. Now I'm able to come and God is able to touch it. I honestly believe that there is a point in lives when we're praying, let's say for a soul, I honestly believe that many times there is that one more prayer that has to be prayed to fill the bottle. One more prayer that needs to be uttered to reach after that soul. I heard a minister telling about a man that had been around the church for 30 years. He'd come to services. He'd heard every type of message he could ever expect to hear. And he sat in every service and laughed at the message as conviction reached to him, saying, "I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm not going." And he didn't for 30 years. But he had a godly wife that kept praying. And for the same 30 years, she never stopped praying for her husband. Now, it's easy to get discouraged after, you know, the first couple years. Well, it doesn't look. What are you going to do? Going to keep praying? Well, it's been 15 years now. What are you going to do? Going to keep praying? You see, it's only half full in God's sight. She didn't know how long she had to pray. But after 30 years, this one preacher said he was in that church holding a revival. And all he did, he just simply looked at the man and he said, "Come and go with me." And he went to the altar. And he said that man who had been walking away from God all those years got up out of the seat, walked to the altar, and that night he received the Holy Ghost. Now what had happened? That dear, godly wife of his had made the final payment on her husband. Keep praying. A memorial prayer. A payment type of prayer. I'm going to pray until the answer comes. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to let it cause me to end. We may spend absolutely years of praying, but one day, we're going to get that answer out and we're going to be able to say, "Look what God has done. It's been such a tremendous result how God has answered us, how God has moved on us." Hallelujah. Now, that's memorial praying. Now, some things you can expect to happen now. Others fall into the memorial type of prayer. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go along with this tonight, and I want to give you something that has probably been the most help to my praying in the last, about 6 months. And if you will turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I want you to underline or circle these words or something. I'm going to talk about the channels of approach to God. The channels of approach to God. Or I guess it could just say steps to successful praying. Whatever the case might be, it works the same. There's a way to come to God. Do you know that? There's a way that you come to God. And I honestly believe there's only one way to come to God. And each time I pray, it's not the same way. Each time I come to the house of God, it's not the same way. That's where we miss it. If we ever come in and say, we've walked out and we just didn't feel anything here tonight. And it just was, you know, sometimes we try to cop out and say, well, God just didn't want to move in any great special way, but God was still there. That might be true, but it might not be true. We might be covering up because we've come back and tried to reach God the way we reached God Sunday night or last week or a month before, a year before. Listen, we may sing "I'll Fly Away" one time, and I don't know which song it was. "I'll Fly Away" was one of them we sung Sunday night. But those songs just brought the blessing. You sing the same songs next week. We're going to do that again. You may do it again, and it's just going to look like, my Lord, what's happened around here? That's because that's not the way God wants to move that night. Let me read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, or chapter 2 rather, in verse 1. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications," and if you can underscore that, Prayers, underscore that. Intercessions, underscore that. And giving of thanks, please underscore that. Be made for all men. Supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks or thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Now, in these four steps, and it really doesn't make any difference how they're listed, as long as you put them in your mind, when you go downstairs to pray or go to your house in the bedroom and pray or wherever you pray, you have these four things in your mind, you're going to find out. If you listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you, you're going to find out your prayer life can be enriched. It can be more. Now remember, first of all, when you go to pray, that you're coming before God. When you go to pray, you are not just killing time, you are coming before God. In the Old Testament, as I made mention, in the Old Testament, there was a way to come before the king in the book of Esther. Esther did not want to go to the king Ahasuerus for one reason. She said, if I go in without him calling for me, I can be killed. You did not go before the king unless he called for you. There was a way to come. And now we're dealing with the King of Kings. And I'm going to say tonight, we do not come to this King of Kings just as we will, in a casual manner, in a I don't really matter, it doesn't really make any difference, just any old manner, just so I come to where God is. I think that many times our prayer is stopped long before we ever finish our prayer because it's so important to know how to approach God. How to come before God. How to say, God, here am I. It must be when you come to God that you come God's way or you've wasted the time you've been in prayer. Amen. Amen. I feel that there have been many hours that's been wasted because people did not know really how to approach God. You do not just come out and scatter out before God and just, here I am, God, and I want it this way, and do it this way, God, and move like this. It does not work that way. The very first thing you need to do when you come to prayer is start seeking for the channel that God wants to talk to you through. Now that goes through a prayer. I could break that on into a service. But in our prayers, there is a channel, a way, a manner that God would like to talk to us. God is trying to talk with us. We're trying to talk with God. And these four steps in 1 Timothy 2 and 1, these four channels should be used. Let me first of all make mention about prayer. He said one of the avenues is prayer. Well, I thought we were talking about prayer. We're talking about praying, and one of the avenues to God in praying is prayer. Prayer is just very simply talking to God. Prayer is just talking to God. And here's where a lot of people cannot come to God in prayer, because when you are in God and the channel God has chosen to move through is prayer, it does not mean that you automatically feel any great movement in your heart. How many, honestly, tonight, how many of you have ever come and knelt down and you were honest with God, but you did not really feel a touch of God when you were praying? Could I see your hand? Honestly. Now, you know what sometimes we've been taught? We've been taught to made to believe that if I don't feel anything, I've missed it somewhere. When I come to pray, I ought to feel God, you know, from head to toe, goosebump upon goosebump. It does not necessarily work that way. If it does, many times when we're praying, We're just flat missing it bad. Prayer is just what it says, talking to God. Not meaning that I feel all that much. Oh, I feel good any time I pray. I feel good any time I come to pray. It doesn't mean that I'm necessarily going to come and speak in tongues. Just because I'm praying doesn't mean God's going to speak in tongues or there's any need to speak in tongues. It doesn't mean that that's going to happen. It may be that all God wants out of you that particular time is just to be talking to God. It doesn't mean you've missed the boat. It doesn't mean you've lost out with God and you're far away from God. It just means He wants to talk. That's all. And there's not a reason to go out and say, well, I guess I really need to get with it. I'm losing it all because I don't know why I can't touch God. No. No. Sometimes He just wants to talk. Now, the avenue to come to pray and find the channel for God, when you come in and begin to pray, the first thing you ought to do is kneel down and start with just prayer, talking to God. Just come in and just start talking. And while you're praying, just talking to God, you ought to reach out and search the other channels. And I'm going to talk about them just very briefly. I'm not going to spend as much time on the others as I am on this. Now, I'm saying that I hate when a man says, I've got 13 points I'm going to give you tonight. And he spends a half an hour on the first one and 35 minutes on the second one. I'm sitting there saying, dear Lord, he's got 11 more to go. We're not going to get out of here till 4 a.m. I'm not going to spend that much time on the other three so everybody can just go. When you come for prayer, reach, search the other avenues, the other channels. You look, you reach out in supplication, in intercession, and in thanksgiving. And I'm going to tell you about those in just a minute. You reach out in those avenues. If He's not moving in supplication, if He's not moving in intercession or in thanksgiving, do you know what you need to do? Come right back to prayer and just start talking to God. Just keep talking out. Don't try to make something that God does not have. If God's moving in prayer and you're trying to get to Him in intercession, you and God are on two different wavelengths and you're not going to hear from God and you're not going to touch God. Well, God's over here trying to reach you and you're over here trying to reach God in another avenue. God's not going to change for you. You better come back to where God is. And it doesn't matter if you cannot feel the green light, so to speak. If God does not lead you, that's where we need to be spiritually with a mentality of maturity that God can lead us. If He leads me in these avenues, oh, hallelujah. But if not, let me be willing to just talk to God. Just talk to God. Not saying I need to stand on my head tonight in prayer meeting, but saying I've just talked to God. Now again, it's not a cop-out and just say, I can come month after month and I don't have to feel God because all I have to do is pray, just talk to God. Now I don't think that's quite what He had in mind. If you're living right, after a little while, He's going to lead you in a different avenue, and you're going to feel some of the other waves of God and the other channels that God would have and would take you. But begin. Remember, when you go to prayer, begin with just talking to God. Just reaching out. Now, there is a channel, definitely, positively. Now, I'm still going to try to finish right about 9 o'clock. There's definitely a channel of approach every time you come to prayer. There's no such thing as there just wasn't any way to go. There's definitely going to be a channel for you to walk in every time you come. But it's your place, your responsibility to seek the way that God is moving. Any other way but the way God is moving is needless and it's wasted. And you've spent your hour in a foolish way because you've not profited you, the church, or God anything. Now, you following me? I'm trying to help and build what you have or what God has for you. Try one avenue. If it doesn't work, try another. Try another. Keep reaching. When a man knows how to pray, he will get results in his life. That bears repeating. When a man knows how to pray, that individual will get results. If he can't even talk, the old saying, I'm a shy, timid person. I say, if you know how to pray, if I know how to pray, that timidity, that shyness will not stop me from gaining results in my life for God. Hallelujah. I can sit back and not have a prayer life and not see anything accomplished for God and blame everything else, but it's still going to come back. I didn't have a prayer life. I didn't have a prayer life. I didn't have a prayer life. I didn't know how to talk to God. Hallelujah. If you get on the wrong channel, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to get in the other three avenues. You get on the wrong channel and you can be discouraged because you don't feel like you're getting anywhere. And when you pray and you get discouraged in your prayer, you've got problems. Because you will not want to go back and pray next time. Well, I just didn't feel like I got anywhere. I can't touch God. I just don't feel like anything's working. I don't really care about going back praying. But you know, you let something happen because you prayed last night. You're ready to come pray again tonight. And that's the way it works. Now the other channels. Supplication. Supplication is probably more intense than the other channels of prayer. In supplication, with supplication, there is intense feeling. There's tears and there's emotion. When you get down to pray and your channel is a channel of supplication, you're going to be praying with feeling as you reach out to God. It's not your desire. I want to come and pray with feeling. It's the way God has led you that night. And you just open up your heart to God in supplication, reaching out because of needs. And God's this soul and this one's sick, and it's with tears and it's with emotion. Oh God, we need. And you reach with that through supplication. Now if God's wanting you just to talk to Him and you're out there and He's just wanting you to just be talking as a man with a man, and you're out there, oh God, and then you just turn it off, just like you turn it on. Mark got his feelings hurt today at one of the boys. And I mean, he is ever more crying. I knew he didn't get hurt because I watched the whole thing. But and Richie said something to him. Richie said, I don't know, responded about his tennis shoes. Oh, really? Is that right, Richie? Just like he turned it on, it went off immediately. Well, God, I just feel like putting some filling into this prayer tonight. If God leads you in it, let the feelings come. If not, be willing to allow the prayer, the just continuous prayer, intercession. And this is probably one of the most important of all the avenues or channels of prayer, intercession. In our intercession, it is the deepest prayer you are ever going to pray. The deepest prayer you're ever going to pray. Most of the time, and I think I can say this truthfully, when you get into intercession, somewhere in that intercessory prayer, there's going to be the groanings that come out of the heart. When the groanings, I don't know if you've ever prayed that way. You know where this church is going to find revival? When God is able to find some intercessors. When we can get into a spirit of intercessory prayer. Now, God will not just use anyone for intercessory prayer. When there is a specific need, a certain need, God will search out the church and here find someone that He can trust and someone that's been faithful, and He will lead them in intercession to pray. And oftentimes, we don't even know what we are praying about. Paul made mention in Romans 8:26, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There is such a thing as praying a prayer in the Spirit with groanings that I don't even know what I'm praying about. I don't know why I feel this burden and this need impressed upon me. But saint of God, if you ever feel that need, you be willing to pray and talk and groan to God if need be, because that's where the answer is going to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God comes and knocks at 3 a.m. at your heart and tells you you need to pray, don't you wake up rubbing the sleep out of your eye and say, "Well, God, I'll get with you at 9. Keep calling. I'll be back at 9 and I'll start praying." You can forget that. God called on you because He thought He could trust you. God wants a consistent saint of God. You love your church. You hear me? You love your church before any other church. You love this house of God. If this is where you set your feet under God's table to be fed, you love this house first and foremost. Love it with all of your heart, and then God will be able to use you for intercession to reach for souls. I'll get on off that. I want to say, though, that intercession, that soul must be led in intercessory prayer. I pray that type of prayer because God has led me there. The Spirit leads you to an intercession. You feel, "I just got to pray. I've got to reach out to God." May not know why, I've just got to, but because the Spirit's leading you. And then lastly, the channel of thanksgiving. Sometimes you pray and the only channel that seems open is just praising God. "I thank you, Jesus." I have been in prayer, whether it be with a group or by myself, that the only thing that I could do was just every avenue of praise that could be uttered, that's what I felt like praying. And that's the only thing. If I'd get back and try to pray for anyone, for myself, or any need, it was wrong. I just felt like just saying, "Thank you, God, I love you. You've been so good." And if that's the avenue open, follow it. That's one of the most glorious avenues that we can walk on, because it always brings the great joy of the Holy Ghost with it. It always brings the spirit of rejoicing. Hallelujah. The 4 channels of approach to God. When you come to pray, you seek these channels out. You find what God has. You walk with God. And you look out which way God wants to lead. You remember that if your prayer is not something that is answered right now with instant results, it's a memorial prayer. Don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Don't start saying, "Well, it doesn't look like it's ever going to be answered." It will. It will. Let's stand together tonight. God bless you. You've been very attentive. It excites me to talk about prayer. You see, you've got to have a prayer life. You cannot live on past experiences. You keep drawing out of the past what used to be in my life, what I used to have. And it's like your checking account. If you don't deposit once in a while, you're going to run out. "Well, I'm just going to rejoice in what God has done." Great. Have you made any deposits lately? Have you put anything in to your walk or your experience or your touch of God? That's what God wants. I've got to have a life of consistency before God. Hallelujah. Would you just come tonight as we sing, and let's just stand. Ask God. I want to ask you this as you come. And ask God to let some of the things that were said, it's not because I said them, but I know that this has helped my prayer life. And I'm going to ask you as you come, ask God to let this sink into your heart and life. When we pray, let it change our lives. Hallelujah. Let's come tonight.